Gracious Father in heaven, we approach you right now, Lord, as you look into thy word. We thank you, Father, for grace, grace and grace, O Lord, that comes into our life every day. Father, without grace, truly, Lord Jesus, what do we have? We have nothing, Father, but judgment. But we thank you for your goodness, O Lord, towards our life. And even as we sit before thee today, Lord, and to learn of something from your word, we ask for your enlightenment, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alright, let's go first of all to the book of Psalm 16. Now we are going to read this. Alright? Psalm 16. There are many verses that I will read very fast, but will be posted on the screen so that we don't have to take too much time. But I want you to go into the book of Psalm 16 now and just read this on here. Here is the Psalms of David, a mictum of David. And it's it means a golden, something golden, some kind of golden hymns or spiritual song. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust on my soul. Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellence in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, and hasten after another God. They are drink offerings of blood, would I not offered, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup, and thou maintainest my Lord. The lines are fallen unto me in present places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel. My reign also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord before me always, before me, because he is my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now this Psalms of David is very well known. Okay? It's well known. And the verse that is more commonly quoted is actually verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption, which of course a song, a prophecy that actually was talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? Now let us go to Acts 2:27. Alright, here it is where we see the quotes of David, taken out by the Apostle Peter. Alright, in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Okay? And let us go to Revelation 20:13. Just these three passages first. Revelation 20:13-15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they will judge every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we all are well acquainted so far now about this Hades, grave, lake of fire, and all this term that we read. And the problem is that in the King James Version, because of the mentality of the translator at that time, alright, they try to give a little of their opinion into the translation. When the word so is used, they sometimes will change it into some other words. Alright, now let me show you this picture here. This is just a rough sketch here, alright? Now these are the things that you'll probably find in the Bible. The first one, of course, is the sepulchre. You know what a sepulchre is? It's quite grave. But that's a word that we've written in the Bible, the sepulchre. It's actually a hole in the ground, a hole in the cave, where they put the body when they bury it. And it comes from the Hebrew word, kiburau. Alright? Or kubah, which means to bury. Alright, so that's the word some of the translator has graved. So when a person dies, of course, we say he is put into the grave, or he is buried, or, you know, in a sepulchre. Okay? So another word that we see in the Bible is Sheol. Sheol. Now, the thing is that this word here is Hebrew, but sometimes the translator think that, that's not right word to use here. I put Sheol, you know, so they put, okay, we put the word grave. You understand? So, the word Sheol has been translated into grave, Hades, sometime, you know, in the Bible, you see. And, or even hell. So that's a problem with word translation. Okay? Now the last one, of course, is the lake of fire. We all well know with this lake of fire, isn't it? Right? Okay? So now, we need to understand that when a person dies, where he goes. Now, to briefly introduce you to this first so that we analyze it. When a person dies, we are first of all make up of three parts, your body, soul, and spirit. We always say body, soul, and spirit. We don't say spirit, soul, and body, right? We always tend to stay from the outside in, rather from the inside out. So we say body, soul, and spirit, but rather, actually, it's the spirit, body, soul. Rather in that form. If we were to look from the book of Genesis to begin with, Adam was created spirit. Is that right? He was in the spirit realm. Remember? Then God made him a body of dust. Put the spirit into the body of dust, and he became a living soul. Otherwise, the soul cannot be manifest in this earthly realm. Are you aware of what I'm saying now? But when we say body, soul, and spirit, it's commonly used. Okay, body, when a person dies, where goes the body? The body goes to the dust of the ground. He's buried in the sepulchre. Is that right? Or today we probably cremated or go into the ground 6 feet. Is that right? But where then is the soul? Now don't forget that the soul is actually a word that is connected to the spirit because the soul is a manifestation of that spirit. So you don't separate soul and spirit. I already show you many times in the Bible that the soul, the word soul and spirit are not, you cannot just separate one from the other. Do you understand that? Huh? So when a person says he's a carnal soul, it means he's of the earthly, human, a sinner. When we say there's a spiritual soul, okay, there are soul that is quickened, that is made alive. It means to say that in our sin, when we are born in sin, we came to the world, we know nothing about God, we know nothing until God quickened our spirit. So we are aware of the presence of God, the reality of God. Is that right? So we are quickened to life. You understand? So that the soul of God in us can be manifest. So now as Christian, your soul, your spirit is being quickened. Or we say the soul being quickened, but the Bible says quickening the spirit. Okay? So when your spirit is quickened, now you are manifesting the life of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You are manifesting the life of Christ. So that therefore your soul is alive. And the soul that is alive, people are looking at you, they see Christ in you. So what then is a soul is that you are the soul. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I look at you, I look at the body, of course, I see you as a physical person. But by your character, the way you conduct yourself, your conversation, the word that you speak, the action, your everyday, okay, you are supposed to manifest the life of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? And everything that you say, everything that you do, that is why the soul is the manifestation of that spirit. That spirit, whether that spirit is dead or alive. You got it? Huh? So a sinner cannot manifest the spirit of Christ because he is dead. The spirit is dead. And a soul that manifests is manifest something that is carnal, something that is sinful because of what happened in the garden. Do you get what I mean? Right. So when we say that when a person dies, his body goes into the grave, goes into the dust, and the soul, we will say in the sense that he goes to Sheol, a place where it is known as the place of the departed dead. But what happened to the spirit? Well, normally it is said the spirit returned back to God because it's alive. So in a sense, okay, you look at this. We came into the world. We have this life. Why? Because why? There is a spirit of life that is given to us to make us to live. If the baby came into the world without crying, without getting this first breath, that means the spirit of life is not entering into him. And so forth, he's become a dead soul. Also say that means the body is dead. That means there's no life in. Okay? Now, the word soul in the Bible is nephes. Okay? Nephes. Every animal who breathes air is called a living creature or a living soul. So when living soul doesn't mean that, when we say living soul, okay, you are a living soul. Right? The singer out there is also a living soul. So don't confuse the word living soul as being alive in Christ. You get it? Okay, unless you say the quickening of spirit is quickened. Your spirit is quickened. Your soul is quickened. Out there, the singer, their souls are not. But they are living soul, and so are you living soul. So is the dog a living soul, so is the cat a living soul. So these are terms that we need to really understand when we talk about alive, quickening, things like that. Do you get what I'm saying so far? Okay? So now, when a person dies, therefore, the breath of life, when you don't breathe anymore, you can't, your heart stops, your breathing stops, the air, the oxygen is gone out from you, it means that life which God gave it to you is returned back to him. Is that right? So God can take a dog, and the dog can just expire. That means the life is taken back to God. Is that right? The spirit is removed from the animal or from the human, and it returns back to God who gave it. That is what we mean. But in theology, some denominations, they will say, when you die, your body goes to dust, your soul goes to this soul, and your spirit returns back to God. Okay, there is a sense, alright, to say that. But we need to understand when you say your spirit returns back to God. Do you understand? Okay. You're so far, you're correct. Alright. Now we're going to look. What is death? Death is the opposite of life. Now we know in the book of Genesis already it says that the day that you sinned, thou shalt surely die. So what is death? Death is separation from God. The day that Adam you've sinned against the Lord, the day they die. But death is not there yet. They're still walking. They're still alive. Is that right? You follow me? But what happened? Death sets in because the veil that God clothed them was removed. So they were aware of their sin. They were aware of their nakedness. Now when the Bible says nakedness, don't think about as a naked body. Naked means something that is exposed. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21, 22, the last church age, how they say we are rich. Right? We have everything. We have gold and all this. We have nothing. And Jesus said, you are miserable, poor and wretched and naked. And you don't even know it. Were they all naked in the body? Were they going to church without clothing on? No. Naked means something that is exposed to the eyes of God. You have nothing. You are sort of filthy looking and, you know, corrupt. Ugly before God. That's what nakedness actually means. So when the veils, I mean, there is no word covering on Adam and Eve, when that is lifted, they realize they were naked. Standing before God, they are separate from God. They can no longer come to God as the way they like. You understand? So that means they are distant away from God, and it will get more distant away if God don't do something to put you back, to hook you back. Remember the Hebrew letter, va, to hook you back. You see, so you'll be drifting away until you physically die off. You see, death, therefore, is nothing just talk about the physical death, it's talk about the spiritual death, first of all, to begin with. Okay, so death is a separation. You understand? So now when a person dies, he goes to dust, fire, his spirit goes, his soul goes to seal, but the lake of fire is not yet here. Alright, the lake of fire is, oh, we call it hell. Some people like to say, well, you die, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn forever. So sometimes the expression of the word hell is very misleading. Okay? The lake of fire is not hell. It's a misnomer. Hell comes from the word Hades, in the Greek word. Hades. Or so to speak. It's a place where the dead goes. But when the dead goes, in a sense, the body goes to one place, the soul another place. Yeah, you get it? Alright. Okay, now, Matthew 12, 38. Let's read this first. Okay? Alright? Then we will later on would have a lot of script to read on the screen. But let us go to Matthew 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribe and of the Pharisees answered, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, And even an adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So now, okay, we take this. The question has been asked. If the Bible says something, in fact, I still forget to try to remember where the verse was, when the Bible actually says, when God says one thing, I hear two things. And many times that is so true in the Bible verses, it has a double meaning. Broad prophecy, compounded meaning. You understand? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. Alright, people are thinking, oh, that's a vampire thing or the cannibalism stuff, you know, that Jesus is talking about. Okay? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. You got it? And many verses like this, where they are actually, something that is said, actually has more than just one meaning in itself. Okay. So now here is this question asked by the Pharisees. They want this sign from Jesus, that, you know, to show that who he was. And Jesus said, there'll be no signs given, but the sign of Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, the Bible clearly says here, 3 days and three nights in the hearts of the earth. So you see, I always like to have people always come up to me, and especially when they think that they are smart and good. You see, the Bible said 3 days, three nights, 72 hours. Is it not 72 hours? Yes or no? Or day is 12 hours, night is 12 hours. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and so on. So 12 hours, 12 hours, 3, 12 hours, 3 times 12, what? 36. Right? Plus another 3 times 12. 36. Altogether, 72 hours, so 3 days, 3 nights. So Jesus Christ must be in the hearts of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And so there are people that try to prove that. And so, I was once, when I was denomination, I thought, yeah, that's true, you know. Prove that. And so we proved it. I said, yeah, Jesus died on a Wednesday. Wednesday happened to be the midst of the week, and that's fulfilling of Daniel 9. Chapter 9, verse 27, about 70th week of Daniel. In the midst of the week, he was cut off. So, we try to prove that. Sounds so exciting, you know, when we were there back then when I was in the system. You know, and then somebody came around and said, no, Christ couldn't die on a Wednesday. The means said that he would resurrect on a Sabbath. So he has to die on a Thursday. So they moved to Thursday. So people move, you know, to try to fit in, you know. But then I discovered one thing. When I studied the book on the tabernacle of Moses, you know, the pattern, and then they studied the Feast of Jehovah. The Feast of Jehovah is God's feast where God fulfilled those feasts. And we find that if you go to study the feast of Jehovah, Jesus Christ could not have died on a Wednesday, nor could he have died on a Thursday, but a Friday. Because there was the Passover day. Remember? And Saturday was the Sabbath. And so he was in the tomb. When the sun set on Saturday, it was Passover, he was in the tomb. And the following day, the Sunday, happened to be the feast of the first fruit. And that is to say that you harvest from the field the first crop and you wave it before the Lord as an offering. And Christ was the first fruit of God. You see? So then I realized that, oh my. You see, we all of us been looking at words until we don't realize the meaning. 3 days and three nights doesn't literally mean 72 hours. Part of a day is part of a day. I always say this, a lot of people don't seem to agree. I know that back then, even in the Philippines, some of the ministers also were trying to figure that out, and some of them believe it was Wednesdays also. You know, and finally when I told them that this is not true, we have to base it on the Feast of Jehovah. You know, we don't try to fit in because we read 3 days and three nights in that sense. You see? So, of course, a lot of people don't realize, no, it must be 72 hours. If you have 72 hours, what time would Jesus Christ rise? If he died before 6 p.m., he must die, he must rise up before 6 p.m. Am I not right? Yes or no? So if he rises up before 6 p.m., what day would that be? If he died on Wednesday, he would have to resurrect before 6 p.m. on Saturday. He said, so a lot of things don't make sense then. You see? So we realize that the word spoken is just a many times, you know, an allegory thing or a figurative speech or something that to denote something. For example now, if you are born on the 31st of December, Well, the following year, January the 1st, you're already 1 year old, man. In the Chinese, in Asia, when the moment you are born, the following few days later or months later, you consider 2 years old because they calculate your 9 months in the mother's womb. You know? So they use in Chinese, they use to at one year old earlier. And I don't know what the Chinese do that, make them older, wiser or something. Just 1 year extra. You know? That's why my mom and my father, they don't even know when they are born. You see, they only know the zodiac, the other born early. The pig year, the red year, or the horse year, whatever. And even my mom says she was born in the year of the dragon. But actually it doesn't make sense. Because I know that I was born, she gave birth to me at the age of 20. Okay, and age of 20, it cannot be that she was born in the year of the dragon. You see, something is wrong somewhere. But she was, all that belief was year of the dragon. I say, it can't be. Maybe sometime when people in China, when you are born in the year of the tiger, they don't want a tiger daughter. So say, a dragon eyes, or a chicken, or a rabbit. You know, so this mentality, they will shift and make all these things. You understand? So that's the way it goes. Anyway, alright, now we're going to look into this to say that when Jesus said that he will be in the heart, you see, in the hearts of the earth. When we say the hearts of the earth, what does it mean? Is it in the sepulchre? Is the sepulchre the hearts of the earth, the hole in the hillside, is that the hearts of the earth? It isn't. Is that right? It's the hearts of the earth, therefore he's talking about the center of the earth. Right. But what Jesus can do, Jesus went to the center of the earth. You know, we have in this, we know that if this is the earth, around earth. Now, the earth, in the center of the earth, right in the center of the earth, there is a core of fire. Molten rock, molten fire right there. Okay. That's where all the dead goes. They go right there. There is a region there. And it is called a netherworld. That's where they are. Okay. But the soul that goes there don't feel the fire. It's just a natural fire. Because you're not natural, you're not destroyed by natural fire. Is that right? Only natural fire destroys natural things. You understand? So when the lake of fire is built later on by God, okay, there was to destroy both the physical as well as the spiritual. Because what's destroyed the spiritual soul? It's the fire of God. What's the fire of God? It is His Word. Depart from me! You know, by the Word He create, by the Word He destroy. You see? So, we need to understand, when the Bible says in the center of the Christ was in the center of the earth, why did He use this word in the hearts of the earth? But was He really there 3 days and three nights? No, it's just an expression. You see, that means to say that Jesus would die and He would be buried. Okay, and after 3 days He will rise again. And we all know when the Jew, when He spoke to the Jew, the Pharisees, they would know. When you talk about soul, they know where the soul goes to. It's Sheol. And Sheol is known to be in the hearts of the earth. You understand? Alright, let's go to one particular verse here now. You can go back to 1 Peter. The one that you have the next chart, the next picture here. Okay, here now, this is 1 Peter. Now look at your Bible. Look at your King James if you are using King James. Look at your NIV if you are using NIV, whatever. And you will notice that this here verse here is not from King James. It is from Lamsa's translation. Okay, let us first of all look at your Bible. 1 Peter. Let us look and examine 1 Peter. Now we are using this verse to establish something so that we can later on go and see where did the soul go when a person died. Alright. 1 Peter. And chapter 3. And we have verse 18. Alright? For Christ have also once suffered for sin. Now, I'm going to read the way you had the King James. If you are using King James or New King James, maybe slightly different. But look at the commas and all these things there. And I show you this, that in the original there is no such thing as a comma. No comma, no full stop, no semicolon, nothing. But the way that is written in the King James, this is how it goes. For Christ also have once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So now when you look into your King James, you have a problem with verse 20. Okay? It says that, okay, verse 19 says that, which also, Christ went to preach the Spirit in prison. The Spirit, okay? The Spirit in prison, which, referring to this Spirit, was sometimes disobedient during the day of the long-suffering, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You get it? So, this verse has been interpreted by many to say that when Jesus died, he went down to preach to those Nephilim. Those angels, those fallen angels, they were very evil. The one that caused us, you know, the giant to come into the world, the one that turned themselves into man and married a woman or possessed man, and then, you know, I don't know how they got into all that to be able to produce giants upon the earth. So Jesus Christ went down to preach to these angels, fallen angels. I don't understand how they interpret that. Why would Christ preach to the angels? Because the way it is written. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. That is to say, you see, why did God send the flood in the days of Noah? Because these angels, these fallen angels, pressed themselves into man, married a woman, caused giant, so God destroyed the whole earth. Now Christ went down and preached to these people and tell them, that's what you have done. And whatever he's supposed to preach to them. That's the interpretation of theologians. But look at this Lamsas translation. Lamsas translation is from Aramaic. Lamsas was the man who told Brother Branham. You know, in this white American, they don't know the Bible. They try to take an Oriental Bible, you know, and give it a Western meaning, you know, that sort of thing. Alright? So this is what Lamsas said. He translated. So why he died in the flesh, that's Jesus, he lives in the Spirit. And he preached to the soul in prison in soul, those who in the past were disobedient. You see this part here? He put a semicolon. Then he said, and in the days of Noah, when the Spirit of God had patience, he commanded and asked to be made. So, this portion here has nothing to do with this portion. Okay? You understand? Let me read again. Wherefore, while he died in the flesh, he lives in the Spirit. And he preached to the soul in prison in Seul. Those who in the past were disobedient. And in the days of Noah. So this and in the days of Noah is separate. And in the days of Noah, when the Spirit of God had patience, he commanded us to be made in the hope of the repentance and so on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here was that Jesus Christ, when he told the Pharisees, so shall the Son of Man be in the hearts of you of 3 days and 3 nights. He went there to preach to who? He went there to preach to the soul in prison. Read Brother Abraham's book on souls in prison. Now, you know, one thing about it is that, you know how true that really is. You cannot go to your theological school and learn theology. Oh yeah, you can, yeah, but that does man make theology. Not the theology of God. Huh? You go to a, well, you know, you go to a, let's say you go to a cookie factory. Oh, they make, whatever cookie, you know, whatever shit they have. They have a certain machine with the mold and the pop, everybody come out the same. Huh? Jelly tot. You know what jelly tot is? You're the little jelly little, okay? And they all come out the same. And that's what factory produces. And that's the same thing with theological seminary. They produce the same Because here the theological professor come in the class and everybody looked at him as a very old smart guy, and he preached whatever he taught, whatever he would teach the student. The student will absorb, and then, you know, they'll grow up, and then they pass it down to their next generation and so on. You know, so they're all regurgitating the same thing from one to the other. You know. Oh yeah, but you know, a lot of people say, no, I'm not, I have my own mind, I'm studying it. Hey, let me tell you something. I came from a denomination church, I studied the Bible, I was in a part-time school there, I learned something. You know one thing, when I was there, 16 fundamental truths, I digested really well. But when I came out into this message, you know what, at the back of my head, those things stays there. Do you know that? Huh? Those things that are, you are brainwashed, so to speak, in that, and then everything is there in the head. That's why when I came out from that denomination in 71, all my books, all the theological books on my shelf. You know, those days I wrote into all the publishers in America, I could get I would go and look for the name of all the publishers, you know, and then I would write in, say, I'm a Bible student, you know, I'm having a part-time study, and I'm glad to be a minister, and all these things, please send me whatever you can, all this. And many of these publishing house, when they print a book, they would always have some of this book that were a little damaged, all this, right? They'll put it on one side and give it away free to those people who want to be a missionary or what. So I used to get a whole bunch of it. You know, this one, or some really good, thick, theological book. So I have it out there, more than 100 or more. You know, big ones, small, and I digest them. I can tell when I came to Master, I said, that has to go. Because the mind will have it here. If those books are still there, I will still refer to it, still in the back. You understand? It's all I have to read about what they command, what they say, is one thing. But you know what? Once you're trained, once you're absorbing this, it stays in the back of your head. You see? God, that's all. When I came into this message, I can tell you, Lord, you cleared that all off. And it takes a whole lot of time of reading and studying the Bible before those things, you really check, you know, I check and say, but is that true? That's the first thing I checked was the Trinity true, because that's what God told me. You worship, you know not what. And I took the Bible and went on my knee from Genesis to Revelation. Look for it, God, you show me the place where I was wrong. And all the places that God showed me were those places the Trinitarian were trying to teach me, and there were three. Those three men that came to Abraham, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's very, very clear. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, as God told me in that time when I was sitting there, Father, writing, God said, that's not them. Because there's no such a thing. It's me and Michael and Angel. Michael and Gabriel. And all the areas I go through, God began to open my mind. You don't throw that off, you are always stuck with it. Do you understand that? Because sometimes when we look into something, it sounds so good. You know, like 3 days and three nights. Yeah, sounds so good thing, you know. You see. And then, but when you go into the scripture, when you come to this certain particular verse, where you don't have an answer of what it is, you need someone that God will send. That's why the disciple asked Jesus, what must we do to do the work of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God. You believe on Him whom He sent. Right? Very simple statement. They find it in John. And what did the people in the denomination say? Oh, Jesus meant to say to the disciple, you follow me whom God sent. But no, Jesus did not say that. You see, they're trying to force that only on Jesus. You have to believe on Jesus. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is God's work. Because the disciple want to do a work. You know, we are not doing a work for God. It's God doing a work in us. Remember what I preached to you? Jesus said, this is the work of God. You believe on Him whom He sent. God sent John the Baptist. You believe on Him because God sent him. Huh? It's not just Jesus alone. He was just a prophet as far as the disciples know Him to be at that particular time following Him. Till their eyes were opened, remember? Huh? When Jesus asked later, who do you men say that I am the Son of Man, and who do you say that I am? Then when Peter got the answer, by revelation. But later on, he still doesn't know or understand the whole thing until the Pentecost come. Do you see that, what I'm saying? Huh? You see? So, we have to, when we look at this, we need something to click us. Brother Bam came along. Hey, soul's in prison. You know, this is the verse. When I was denomination, I never know what on earth this, how could it be? How does it, the whole thing here means? You know, you read about this and Christ went out to preach to those spirits. What has got to do with it? You know? And only when Brother Branham talked, came along and make a certain statement. That's why Brother Branham many times make a certain statement and he left it. He just lit it. You see? He's a topology. He will take a thing and then throw something out there. You know, and you can see it. And the whole thing will make a sense when you look into the Bible. You understand that? So this is one of the examples. So let us continue now. Let's go. Let us look into the Bible verses we have on the screen here now. Okay? Revelation 20:13. You're not turning the Bible, you want to, and you're trying to figure that out. Revelation 20 verse 13 to 15. And the sea give up the dead which were in it, and hell and death give up the dead which were in them. And they will judge every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we now look at this, we see that the dead, wherever they are, whether it's in the ground, in the sea, okay, we know there are some that are buried in the sea, right? Okay, and those are buried in the dust, and so they are cremated and throw the ashes in the sea, or whatever they may be. Everyone who dies has to turn to dust anyway. Okay, and it says all these dead, alright, will be raised up. And then it says here, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So what is the first death? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all die. Okay? No, no, says whether you die now in the physical as the first death. Normally people say that's the first death. Yeah, but you know that's good. That's the meaning many people just take it. But we know that we are everyone who are sinner already dead in the first place. Is that right? The second death is what? The first death is here, separation from God. The second death is being cast in the lake of fire and burned up. And you exist no more. Annihilation. Now, for annihilation is hard to grasp for many people. The reason why this soul sleep doctrine came about, as far as I know, is because of the interpretation of scripture where people believe in everlasting fire. Right? When I was in denomination, people asked, how could it be that a good God allowed people to be burned in hell for all eternity? How could he? And that time I don't have an answer because I don't know anything about it. I said, well, the Bible says so, didn't it? Everlasting fire. That's all I could tell the people because, well, you know, I was still learning and in denomination you just follow. You see? So, because of this doctrine, those people who see that this is not really true, they study it and say, oh, finally, say, oh, soul sleep. But the problem right now about this soul sleep is that because of what the first doctrine said, everlasting fire. People who die now who are sinners are immediately gone into this lake of fire and burn. That is not true. You know, but that seems to be the teaching that people are getting it. But that is not what it is. You see. So now the soldier came along to say that is not true. People who die now knows nothing. The soul, the body is what it is, everything ceases. No knowledge, no suffering, nothing. So they come up with that. Alright? So now, we found that in this verse it says the devil and hell were cast in the lake of fire. That's the second death only at the end. Because this Revelation 20 at the great white throne judgment. Then all the dead will come out. Alright? What is death? What is hell? Hell is Hades. So, okay, that means all those places and the dead will bring together and will cast in the lake of fire, and those things exist no more. Because those things exist now. Death exists now, right? Hades exists now. But in the final, at the end, great judgment, this thing back together and cast it, and it will be gone forever. Alright? So, death is not death if it is not completely gone. So when a person says he is dying, if he is suffering in eternal hellfire, suffering and suffering and suffering makes his life. Some sort of a life, isn't it? So how could he have life in death? How can you say that is death if he is suffering and crying and screaming? So that is contrary. You see? When the Bible used the word eternal fire, everlasting fire, again that's where the problem of translation is. In the Greek it is aeonis, means age ending. Age ending. So every time we use the word everlasting or eternal, it came from the Greek word aeonos, means age ending. That's what it means. You know, that means that everything therefore that is created will have an end. Hellfire is created to burn up the wicked. And that's it. It will have an end. Right? Like a fire, like a piece of wood and see what it will have an end. Is that right? So, then people say, oh, if that is true, that means that eternal life of Christian will have an end. You know what I'm saying? You have eternal life, right? The way eternal still, the word is age-ending. Age-ending life. But don't forget this. When we come up from, when, see, God is eternal. It's a, like a circle. No beginning, no ending. We have a beginning. So anything that has a beginning must have an end. But in order to have eternal life, we have to come back into this circle of God. Into this eternal circle of God's life. Then we will not have an end. You understand that? And so we all, even though we use the word eternal God, because that's the only word they use, but the word eternal also means age ending. Do you understand that? Alright, so we need to come back into this eternal circle of God. Alright, let's go to the next verse, Psalm 16:10. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. That is the word hell here is from the same Hebrew word soul, seal. Alright, it's translated as hell. Sometimes translated as grave. The King James really fit his own translation as he likes. So the word hell here should be the word seal. Okay? Alright? But Acts 2:27, I do not know some Bible will translate Hades. But the same verse as in Psalm 16:10. Alright. Isaiah 38:10. I said in the cutting off of my day, I shall go to the gates of the grave. You see the word grave? It actually comes from the Hebrew word seal. So, they just, when King James already have a, people really in that day just feel what they think they want to give their own. Okay? But it's all from the same Hebrew word seal. Seal means the place of the departed dead. All those who die go to this particular place. Alright? And Genesis 37:35. Now this is interesting here what it says here. Genesis 37:35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. That is Jacob. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. For I will go down into Sheol. You understand? Not into a hole in the ground. Huh? It means, the grave means Sheol. So, he said, I will go into Sheol unto my son mourning. Because then he's there. All dead must go down. The body is just the dust. The body is not the real you. I know the Bible said, the soul that sinners it shall die. A lot of people take this to say that you are the soul. I know you are the soul. But the body that the soul that sinners shall die is not referring to the body itself. Do you understand? How do we establish that? We come to that later on. But just look at this. Next one, Job 14:10. But men, 14:10 to 15. But men died and wasted away. Yeah, men gave up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fell from the sea and the flood decayed and dried up, so men lie down and rise not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of his sleep. So that thou would hide me in the grave, that thou would keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hand. Here now, there are many verses in scripture like Job talk like this. That people are saying, you see, Job is saying that when a man die, he knows nothing. He knows nothing. He's unconscious. Like when you sleep, you know nothing. Like you put under an operation table or a GA, you know nothing. People can cut you up and all these things, you know nothing. You see, it's just like you're dead, you know nothing. You see. But the verses, all this that Job is saying, does it really mean in that sense? That he was referring to that? that the soul is actually itself the grave. That's what soul sleep will interpret. Soul is also means the place the departed means, it means the grave. In the Hebrew, one thing is spoken, two things can you must hear. Huh? Right? So when I die, I said, before I die, I said, let me go to Abraham's bosom. Right? Does it mean that when I die, Abraham is, you know, I mean the bosom, and he is rocking me, rockabye baby. No, of course not. Right? You understand? In Abraham's bosom, what does it mean? You need to understand. When I die, let me go to be with Jesus. When you die now, you don't go sit to see Jesus, you know that? Everybody has to wait until all comes up together. But that is the expression. You see? So when the expression comes, don't take it as it is literal. So these are the same thing with the expression. You know? So when a man lie down, will he raise up not to the heaven, be no more, so not awake, nor raise up if he sleeps. So of course he's sleeping. He's sleeping, that means the word death is used here for sleep. Okay? Job 3:11. Why I die? Why die I not from the womb? Why did not I give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? Why? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves, all with princes that have gold, who fill the house of silver, or has a hidden, untimely death, I had not been. As infirm, I which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small, the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Of course, we all know that when a person died, you die, whether you're king or you'll be with the kings and all the great and small, rich and poor, you'll all be there in the same place. Right. But to them, those who take these verses, that Job was not referring to Sheol. Okay? Why was he referring if it is not Sheol? Because Sheol is a word that means the place of departed dead. So everybody goes there, okay, but when I go to the grave, sure, you are rich man, you die, you still go to dust. You are poor man, you die, you still go to dust. So everybody, rich and poor, like me tell you this. You see a beautiful girl, beautiful. This is a fashion model. Huh? Okay? A movie star, beautiful. Nice face. Remember I told you one before? You take another girl, ugly, born very ugly. Huh? Of course. Strip away the skin. Strip away the skin and see what happens. What do you see? You see a scar. Still the same. Two holes. Two holes here. The teeth are dead. Clack, clack, clack. Everybody looks the same. Whether you're beautiful or handsome or not, everybody are the same. Because what is this? What is this here? Nothing but flesh. And the skin worm will eat it up. And you turn to nothing but bare bones. And everybody look the same, skull. Huh? Just go and look at some picture of the skull. That's what you are. You saw my x-ray, huh? That's why you all look the same, you know? Don't say old. Everybody is the same. Eyes too old. You see? So beautiful, beauty is only skin deep. Is that right? It's nothing. So whether you're beautiful, rich, ugly, whatever, everybody goes to dust. Because dust, thou art, thou shalt return. So when you are dead, here you are. Okay, now, let's say someone, our beloved someone passed away. Of course, he's silent, isn't it? We hear no more from them, they cannot praise God because they are dead. And the Bible says God is God of the living and not of the dead. So you ask me, does the dead praise the Lord? Do you think the dead praise the Lord? Of course not. So, some people say, if it is not, then in so, if they are there in so, the living one, do they praise God there? No. Why not? Because the Bible didn't tell you anything about it, so why do you assume the dead praise the Lord? You understand? So what then is a place for sure? Let's go on and see if we find a little bit more. Okay, now let me see. Let's go to this verses. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Of course, right. When you die, do you think you study? Do you work when you die? You are in soul, man. There you are in the state. There. A realm by itself. What do you do there? I mean, play marble? Fly kite? Huh? Study how to do programming computer? Of course not. So what happened in Seoul? Okay. So there's nothing, no divine, no knowledge. Okay now. Psalm 146, verse 4. His breath goeth forth. He returned to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Now, here this is King James, right? This is King James. His thoughts perish. So now those souls sleep say, well, you see, when a person died, his thought perish. It means you know nothing. But in the New King James, the word in Hebrew is translated in many ways. Now, let's say, for example, I'm standing here and I'm thinking. That's my thought, right? Now, when I'm thinking, I'm also planning. Isn't that right? Isn't it not? So, whatever is going on up here is an activities. So, that is to say, his activities perished. It means to say that whatever he wanted to do is gone. Huh? Let's say, you see, in the news, men who study hard, you know, go to university and all this, and all of a sudden, the life is snapped off. Huh? And you get a news report, the parents say, oh, you know, she's such a young lady, my daughter, she studied so hard, she wanted to be a neurosurgeon and all this, the life just gone. Everything's gone now. All the plans and all the thoughts and all the activities she wanted, all is gone. Right? That's actually what it means. But to the soul sleep, you see, he's no more thinking. There's nothing there. No activity, that means nothing. Just nothing. He's not conscious. He's not, no, he knows nothing. Right. Okay, Psalms 115:17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silent. Into silent means, is translated, another word is death. So of course, the dead praise on the Lord when you die. How do you praise the Lord when you are there? You don't know. They're all dust. All this dust flying around belong to somebody. Brother, are you around here? Yeah. Do you praise the Lord? Of course, no. We are talking about this present context. Right, Anna? Sure, isn't it? You see? So, nobody knows what happened over there. So, we cannot say, I know. Well, just like some great man's statement says, you all believe in Jesus, it's good. You all believe in Muhammad, that's good. You all Buddhists are good about Nirvana and all this eternal life and all this. Well, I don't know, because nobody has been there and come back and told me. Huh? Correct? You see? Has anybody ever gone to heaven and said, I have seen Abraham, I've seen, and come and tell you this? Even if there is a man, you won't even believe. Right? That's what the Bible said. When Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what he said? He prayed. He says, Father, I thank you. I will not pray for those souls. They hear, they believe because of their words. Because of the apostles' word. The apostles will witness us on the fact. And they preach it down. So it's up to you to believe. The apostles, first generation, passed away. The second generation continued. The second generation passed away. The third generation will continue. So by the time we get further away from the first generation who were the first witnesses, you will probably find it hard to believe. Isn't it? Huh? Peter said, I was there. John said, I was there. Yeah, that's first generation. And you were hearing, really, you were there? Oh, okay, I believe you. Fine. But now you come to this generation. See, hard to believe. You see, this is why faith is a revelation. You cannot believe until God show it to you. Do you realize that? It is God who called. It is God who chose to make it known to you. And if your heart is yearning for it, God will reveal more. You see? If you don't have no desire, even that which you have, and if you don't guide it, it will be taken away from you, and you will have no more. That's how true that is. You've got to keep moving, moving. It's real, you know that. Alright, let's go on to the next one. Genesis 2:19. Out of the ground the Lord formed every creature of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, now that's a word here in Hebrew, nephesh. That was the name of it. Every living creature is nephesh. It means soul. So every living creature is every living soul. So the dog is a soul, the cat is a soul. That's the reason when I was in the denomination, they say, animals do not have a soul. I was just kind of a bit confused. The word soul is nephesh in Hebrew. So everyone that has breath, no nostril, and nose, is a living soul. Of course, the tree is not called a living soul. You understand? But all those that breathe is a living soul because God needs to give them that life to breathe through and then remove that life and it's gone. You see? Why has the tree came by the seed? And it is feeding on the dust directly. So there's no nostril in that sense. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You see? So, when you... Animal can sense. Animal have common sense, huh? You see? They're intelligent. Right? You can see all the animals, they can do all the tricks, you can turn on this and that and all that. You know? But a tree does not. The tree just grow by itself, but the sunlight just moves to the sunlight. Huh? Because the whatever molecules and the cells and chlorophyll, whatever it is, it's created in such a way that they need to feed on the sunlight. But the animals and man, they can relate to each other. You see, and that's why we are called a living soul. And God formed man, Genesis 2:7. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in the nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living nymphis, living creature, a living soul. Isaiah 66:24. We go over this few, then we try to close. And I shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the man that hath transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and there shall be an appalling unto all flesh. Now, to understand about, to look at it, without going to all this detail, I saw one website, wow, 55 pages. In every verse, he tried to explain what it is. Now, let me say this, that there are the versions about this doctrine of the soul. The traditional view is this. If you are a sinner, you die now, you go to hellfire. If you are a Christian, you die now, you go to heaven, to be Jesus. Okay? Then the next one that we know, they counteract this doctrine, is the doctrine of soul sleep. And one of these views that I've always known, okay, is that all, whether you are Christian, born again, or unbeliever, all of us, when we die, we sleep. Until, well, depends on when you die. So you say now if Paul died, right? It's Apostle Paul. I'm not talking about Paul. Apostle Paul. He died. Okay? He doesn't know anything. He's unconscious. He knows nothing. Okay, the soul, and I don't know where it goes anyway, because souls never explain where it goes. He said that for die means just die, because you, the soul is you, and you are the soul. So you die, you mean just finish, die, you turn to dust, that's it. Until Christ comes in resurrection, I mean in his, for the rapture, then Paul, come on out from the dust. Then the dust will come together, and Paul will stand up again. God will put the soul on. And appalling to him, and he will come up. And that's the doctrine of soul sleep. It means unconscious, no nothing, no life, nothing, no awareness of anything at all. You get it? This is the doctrine. Now, there is a new one that I finally discovered. It's a totally different view. That is to say that in soul sleep, only those who are unregenerate creature, huh? Means the sinner, who are not Christian. Okay, when they die, they are unconscious. This friend of mine said, now he called it soul death. But this new version, not his death, he doesn't believe in this, of course. But this new version, by another group, believe that only those who are born again, when they die, they are conscious. You got it? It means they are somewhere in paradise. But those who are wicked ones, they are unconscious. So do you see how different that is now? The original one source is everyone. Whether you are Christian or not Christian, when you die, you are unconscious until the day you are resurrected. But this new one is that the saints, those who are Christian, when they die, you go to paradise. Those who are not, they are unconscious until they are called into judgment. That's the new view. Okay? So now, let us look at this one here. Isaiah here, 66 verse 24. This passage is talking about, there is a valley. If you look in your map, you have, east of the city of Jerusalem, you have this valley, okay, that comes down to the south. It's called the Valley of Kidron, or comes down on the north side, on the right hand side, I think it's called the Valley of Hinnom, okay, and sometimes it's called Gehenna, and that's where we get the word hell. And this is why the citizen of the city will take all this garbage, rubbish, okay, and burn it there, in that place. It's called the Valley of Hinnom. And that is called Gehenna fire. They will burn up all this garbage. So this continual burning. You understand? So every now and then people will throw rubbish and you'll burn. And you throw a dead dog or dead cat or whatever and all the waste. So maggots will come. You see, now after a while, you know, on the side there will be maggots where the fire is burning, and center will start with maggots. You get it? It's rotting area. Okay? So he says that for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. Okay? Then in Mark chapter 9, verse 42 to 44. This is the word of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone will hang around his neck and will cast into the sea, and if the hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life, mean, than having two hands to go into hell. The Hebrew word is Gehenna. Okay? Into a fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm died not, and their fire is not quenched. So this is why the traditional says that when you die, go to hellfire, Gehenna fire. That's why people are trying to take this. So if you are an evil man, all this stealing and cutting people, whatever it is, when you die, you'll be thrown to the fire. You understand? And you will burn forever. You understand? Because you say the Bible says here, the fire that never shall be quenched, and the worm die not. What is this meaning right here? What is the meaning of this? Remember, these are allegory. Okay? Many times, a lot of words are said in a certain way. The way that the prophet, the apostles of old, even Jesus, he tends to exaggerate. You understand me by exaggeration? To exaggerate to get the effect to the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? So, Jesus said, what does the law say? Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? And Jesus said, if you look after the woman and you covet after her, you commit adultery already. Is that right? You see? And the Bible also said about thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, when you look upon your brother and you hated him, throwing daggers with your eyes, you already committed it. Isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? So in the old, in the new, there's a tendency to exaggerate it, to make it real tight. You understand? So you will not cross the line. For example, I don't like Brother Cardi. He did something. You know, just to get all this heat and fire in you, against him in your feeling. Now, if this is not controlled, the next step is to really kill him, isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? You see, because that is burning. So that's what Jesus said. It's not just literally king. When you get this thing all up like that, you already committed it. When does the sin came into the garden? Was it when Eve commit fornication with the serpent? Or was it that already Eve entertained that thought? Remember? The seed was sown in there. And you entertained the thought. So that's what we call the exaggeration. The stretching of it, expanding it. To hold, make you feel that, hey, don't cross that line. You see? So the same thing here. The using of Gehenna fire. The fire that quenches not. Because day and night, the fire in the valley is burning. People keep on throwing rubbish. It will not die. Okay? Every time you throw it. But of course, it's no longer there, isn't it? Today, you go there, I don't think you don't see it anymore. Okay? The worm that died not. What is the meaning of the worm that died not? What is the worm? How you know like worm? Anybody likes worm? Okay. You ever see a worm that dig into some kind of flesh? Oh my. You feel eerie, you know what I mean? You see, and so you see, when the Bible talks about this, when a man die, where does he go? That's a good thing. Let us go to Genesis. I will close with this. Don't go into deep detail too much about it. But for us to understand, really, you need to first of all know the creation of man. If you fail to see the creation of man, just like when people fail to see the serpent seed, they don't even know what the original sin is. It's an apple. It's an apple. Right? Oh, no, it's not an apple. My friend said, no, an apple, it's just that she disobeyed. And she eat the fruit. Doesn't matter what fruit that is. She disobeyed. That is not the fall itself. Huh? You understand that? What we have today was fornication with the serpent. Yeah, I know she disobeyed. But the Bible said she partook of it. And God formed a seed. And his name is Cain. The seed of the serpent. But they don't see that. Do you understand what I'm saying now? If you can't see that, how can you see what brought all this problem in the world? Sexual problem? Killing problem? Lying problem? Temper throwing problem? Disrespect? And all that stuff. Why? It's because of the serpent seed. Is that right? Do you understand? Okay? So when we look into this doctrine about whether souls sleep or not, where are they and all, we need to understand about the creation of man. First thing, Genesis we already read. Chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male female created them. When God created Adam, he was first created in the spirit, right? That's really when the doctrine that I put out, known as the image and the likeness of God. If people don't see this, the difference between the image and the likeness, you will know the creation of man. Adam was first created spirit, right? Sure. And then God said, there's no man to till the ground, because here the man was in the spirit. You know, back then when I came to the message, I still did not know about God. I thought that God was just a spirit without eyes, without hands and mouth. Huh? Until several years ago, when I began to really look into the image and likeness of God, then I realized that God actually is a spirit with hands and eyes and mouth and nose. Because we are in His image and we are in His likeness. Sure. But He is spirit form. But in denomination, we were told that God is a spirit. I don't know what kind of spirit it is. Maybe ball of fire or whatever is moving around. I mean, that's Chinese fantasy story, huh? You know, when you go out there in the night, you see green light floating around, red light floating around in the dark places. Ah, there must be demons. That's a spirit moving around, right? That's all. And then, of course, the Western kind of ghost is always a floating white sheets, huh? With dark eyes, things like that. I mean, everybody have imaginations. But I realize now that we are in the image of God. The Bible said that no man has seen God. Is that right? But the Bible promised that one day we will see Christ. We will see God. Yes. And you're not going to see my ball of fire floating around and things like that. That's just mere imagination. I'm creating the image of God, so that's what I look in this form. Christ has hands and legs and mouth, so His Father must have the same. Only that He was spirit. And He is spirit. Okay, so Adam was clear spirit. He was already there, like all the angels, right? But he was clear here to do a work on this earth. But you see, as a spirit, you can't do a thing. The angel cannot, as spirit, as long as the spirit, you have no way to hold a pen. There's no way that you can hold anything, because you are spirit. Until you are given a body, because this is a tangible world. Is that right? Unless you have a body like Jesus Christ now, spiritual body, he can come into the world and he can take something and he can eat it. Right? That's the body that we are all looking for. Amen. Not that we walk here and bang our head against the wall. We, in the spiritual body, can walk right through. Is that right? They can, from here, they can go to Mars. Go everywhere you want. You know? So that is different. So when you look at that, dust was given to Adam, a body of dust. He went in, he became a living soul. So with this understanding, we need to know that man originally was not a body. Man was not created from dust to begin with. He was created in the image of God. And that's why from the side of Adam, God took Eve. That's not what we begin to see. If God wants to make us all from dust, he will create a dust body for Adam, a dust body for Eve. Isn't that right? Like dogs. Dogs are living soul. When they die, that's it. All that life that which God gave them, return back to God. Is that right? So when Adam died, what is the spirit of Adam? Nowhere. Now he's been 6,000 years ago. He's nowhere. He's not in soul. He's not in any place. He's just unconscious. He's dust. That's it. No! That's why I disagree with that. You see, because if that is so, let me ask you. That's why I'm going to ask that man. I don't know where. I get a chance to ask him one day. Jesus, when he died, his body was in sepulchre, right? Where was his soul? He was nowhere. He got to be somewhere. Somewhere. Jesus was unconscious, knew nothing. Then what does the word that Peter spoke about? He went down to preach the soul to the spirit in prison. Right? What did Jesus say? There will be no sign given you except the sign of Jonah. Said, right, the Son of Man shall be in the hearts of the earth. He must have gone somewhere. And Peter said he went down to preach to the soul that were in prison, who were disobedient in time past. Is that right? John, those are not angelic spirits. They are those that are the souls of men down in Sheol. He went to preach to them. They are there. Oh yeah, there is one particular parable that we all know so well. The rich man and Lazarus. Oh, the souls of people said that doesn't count. That's only a parable. Let me say something here. A parable? Yes. But don't forget, this is more than a parable because Jesus gave a name. The poor man. When he said the poor man, right? The rich man and Lazarus, he doesn't have to mention the rich man. He doesn't want to discredit the rich man for being what he was. You know what I mean? But he gave the credit to the rich poor man because he knows this poor man. Now if it is a parable, remember all these parables Jesus can never give a name, right? There was a certain rich man, there was this king, and you know, having a what they call wedding, planning a wedding, and so on. But you see, Jesus, you mentioned the name. If I were to tell you a story, you know, there was this man who lived in this block. You know, he's a very rich man. And then next door to him was a very poor farmer. That means, if I don't mention the name, means I wouldn't know this person. I would not say, okay, this was a poor man, let us call him Akau. Or John, or Peter, what? Let us call him by name, it's a different thing. But Jesus did not. He said there was this Lazarus. He know this person, and it's real. So if I were to tell you something, report to you about a neighbor who did something wrong to the other neighbor, and I mention the neighbor who has been done to him, I call him by name, means I know him. But I will not tell you about the neighbor who did bad to him, because I don't want to discredit him. So that parable is more than a parable. And so what did the parable say? The rich man was in one place. Was he in hellfire? No. They were all right down in the center of the earth. But why was the rich man tormented? That's what it is. Tormented by fire? No. Tormented by what? He tormented by the worms that is gnawing at him. This worm is the thought. You know, when you have done something wrong, your conscience is going to bother you. That's the worm. The worm will never die. Hey, go and steal something. Go to the best donkey today and go and steal an iPod. And you see whether your worm is bothering you. If you have no worm bothering you now, you are dead. Huh? There must be conscience. Of course, those die-hard criminals, they don't care. But when they die, they go to this soul. They're going to sit there. They're going to be in that region. They're going to be bothered. They are mind that all this talk will come back to him. It's going to bother them. Why didn't I do it? Why didn't I accept Christ? Why I was taught about the gospel? Even I've done this bad thing to my neighbor. I've done that to this person. All this thing will be there. And of course, the thirsting means what? Not that you need to drink water. It's a spiritual thirst to realize that you want to be free. You know, when I drop water in the dry desert, you feel so good, right? Only a temporary thing, of course. You know, so there are a lot of things that you want. Okay, let's say for example, in a person who commit a crime now. Okay, first time. He commit a crime. He arrested. Go in jail for 1 month. His name is fresh in the paper. How do you think he feel? Why do I do that? Sway, that luck. So I'm down there. Right, he was sitting in the prison, regret. This is called, we call worry sorrow. Once it's finished, he comes out. Whether he go back or not to do all the crime again, it depends on his conscience. But for us, we as Christians react differently. So this rich man is going to think about this. Why? Where's Lazarus? Lazarus is still down there in jail. But it's in the compartment. Jesus said they're separated. Separated in one sense. There's a line that you cannot cross. No, that line that you cannot cross called a gulf. It doesn't mean that you cannot cross in that sense. Spiritually speaking, you cannot cross the line. Okay? But literally, it's just like us here. We can go down to the city. We are mixing with all the sinners, right? Yes or no? We can go, maybe we can... Okay, let's just go and visit the casino. Right? We can walk there and look at the casino, look at their play. But don't cross the line and say, okay, let me play $10. You get what I'm saying? Huh? Let me gamble for $10. Let me play 4 digits of GK, C GK, whatever. Huh? You want to go and play that? You cross the line. You understand? Let me say, you mingle in that soul places. The souls are wicked and the souls are righteous. They are there all together. But they are divided by a gulf that you cannot, you're already separated. Now we are separated people. We're not going to be separated anymore. Correct? That's why when we are separated from the world, that's why we're not conformed to the world. We don't cross that gulf. They can't cross to us, neither can we cross to them in that place of soul. Do you understand that? So of course when the Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, it doesn't mean Abraham was carrying him there. It doesn't mean just expression of the faith that you have that belongs to Abraham. And now that you are at peace, you rest there. Okay? Because when you rest, it doesn't mean that, you're on cloud number 9 or whatever it is. You'll be there, you'll see your brother and sister there. You know, there'll be a lot of things to talk about. You know? And now you've asked me whether you praise the Lord or not. I don't know. Until you go there and you find out yourself whether you praise the Lord or not. You see, there are activities that are there, they are not known to us here. We wouldn't know. But obviously what is given in the parable of Jesus Christ and what we know, that when Adam died or anybody died, now we are Christian, the spirit that have life will go back to the Father. They give it. So you are extinct here. Your body died. Goes to the dust. Your soul, which is actually your spirit that you were given to you. You go down to soul and wait. You know? Wait. That's what the Bible said. That when Christ descended from heaven, he said that at the last trump, the day in Christ will rise first. So they will have to come up. Only right now, after Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4:11, when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he set captivity captive. So all those that were captive by Satan, Satan has the key to death. Is that right? To take everybody and put them in one place. But Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, after his death, he went out to the prison. Okay, he set the captive free, those that belongs to him, and he preached to them. And that's why, as God said to the serpent, "Thou shalt bruise his heel, and he shall bruise your head." And Christ overcome sin paid for it. He went down there, took the key from Satan, so to speak, and locked all the doors, or prison doors, of all those captives that belongs to him, and set them free. And the Bible says he extended, right? Set captivity free. So in last question, why did God say that? When Jesus Christ brought them up, in that sense, Satan, in the last attempt, tried to grab Jesus Christ's feet. So bruise his feet, and Christ gave him a kick on the head, and so bruise his head. So this is a kind of allegory for us to see, you know, that he has triumphed. So now those are saints are taken up. Those that are not, they are still in that place. So, okay, so saints are taken in another compartment called paradise. You ask me where is paradise? It's here. The seventh dimension is all here. Remember? Remember the seventh dimension? Yes, we are living in a three dimension. The fourth dimension, what is it? The fourth dimension is where the angels, good and bad, are moving here. The fifth dimension, where is it? What is it? It's still, it's right in the hearts of the earth. Alright? Still here in this earth. And space. Where is the sixth dimension? Paradise, where is it? It's here somewhere. It has no part to be inside there anymore, but it's here somewhere. But it's still the place of the departed dead. When we go, we go. When we die, we go there. And the seven is heaven. Heaven. But where is heaven? Heaven is not somewhere up there. But as I said, where is heaven? Heaven is where the Word of God is. And where is the Word of God? It's in your heart. So where is heaven? Heaven is right here. So it's all in this realm of the heavens and the earth. The first heaven and earth. I mean first heaven and this earth. So the second heaven is the space out there. The third heaven is where God is. But where is the third heaven? Don't look so far up. Look right here. Look right where you are. Okay? Because Jesus walked with me. Is that right? In the day you shall know that I am the Father. The Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for times like this, Lord, to look into thy word. Time fast spent again, Lord. Another day comes, another day goes. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness towards us. May this little message, Lord, bring an understanding, Father, as to where soul really is and what will happen to a man when he dies. We know there's much opinion and all this going back and forth. Father, but without the revelation of the Spirit to understand from the beginning of how Adam was created, what is man to begin with? He was first created spirit and then put into a body. If we do not understand this, Father, then we do not understand. We can take all the verses of Scripture and we can give all his interpretation according to what we think it is, Father, and trying to interpret it by our understanding the best we can, Father, in that form. And in that way, Father, we always miss the truth. But let your Spirit, O Lord, enlighten us by bringing forth revelation and things that, Lord, the system will never be able to understand, but that which only, Father, your Spirit can give us to understand. And you have given us a ministry. The Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you, Father, today even for this precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.